The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here on time. I was sitting at the fair on Friday night eating my $12 corn dog. I don't know how people take their kids to the fair. They have to take out a loan to go. It's incredible. And I had obligated myself to help with the races both nights. I'm like, holy cow, the time changes this weekend. So I don't know about you guys, but this is the one time change that always gets me somehow. I appreciate you guys being here. There might be some people coming in just about right now. I've done that before. I'll never forget. Does anybody remember Pastor Ken Cartledge? Ken Cartledge. He asked me to help him at church one day. I said, I'll be there. And it happened to be that the weekend that the time changed. And I was so sure I was going to be there on time. I was sure I had it right. And as I pulled up, church was just getting out. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So this is the one that always messes me up. So applause to you guys. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm actually super excited about today. I feel like, man, even if I wander all over the place with this message, I got about two main points. And if they hit home with you, man, I hope it really clears some stuff up this morning for you that we don't need to be afraid of, that we need to understand. And man, it could really help us. So we're going to talk about the weapon of prayer. And I don't know what it is. It seems like every time I've been over at First Baptist, I've kind of landed on this theme of prayer. And Jeremiah and I take turns, so we don't pick what we're going to talk about. And here it is, I'm talking about prayer again. So I'm kind of excited about it. I get to go into maybe a little deeper spot in a realm that we don't operate in or think about or talk about too much. So just let me pray for you guys this morning and for myself. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the power. Thank you for Jeremiah's message last week. Thank you for the power of your word, the word of the Spirit, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And we thank you for this word today for us. We thank you for your word, what it means to us. I thank you for those that are here. I pray for their hearts. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit, who we're going to talk about today, would help them be receptive to what you want them to receive. It's not just from me. It's what they gather from being connected to you. Your spirit connected to their spirit. And the same, Father, for me as I speak, I pray, Father, that I would remain in that connection and speak for you what you want me to speak. Let the truth set us all free today. Let it be so impactful for our lives that it changes the face of our day and what that looks like and how we operate with you. Father, may it be so. We pray in your name. Amen. So we're going to start in Ephesians, and I'm going to back up just a little bit, because I want to kind of roll into this, so there'd be kind of a few. Boy, we're stuck. This is the way the whole day's been. The ice machine didn't work. I had to go get crummy ice. Sorry about that. You can fix it later. I wanted to start in Ephesians because there's a theme, there's a tempo to this that I don't want to lose, okay? So verse 17 says, and take up the helmet of salvation. And then this is what Jeremiah went over last week, that he had some really awesome points. And the sword of the Spirit. And notice that word spirit, we're going to hit that today. which is the word of God. And then the first for us today is verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And I'm telling you guys, this is a mouthful. To understand exactly what this is saying, some of it's pretty intuitive. Some of it's not. So what I want to do, though, is why are we instructed this? What's this all about? Why are we going through all this? Why have we spent the last, 10 weeks, 8 weeks, going in detail about the armor of God? Why are we to remember that there's truly forces of evil that's working against us, that want to kill God's glory in your life? Why do we have to remember that? What's this about? Why do we need to know that we need a belt of truth? In other words, why do we need to know a foundation that we're supposed to operate from? Why are we supposed to protect our heart and wear the breastplate of righteousness, wear the righteousness of Christ through faith and love? Why are we doing this? It's not just to know the Bible more. There's got to be some application to it, right? Why are we supposed to be ready? Why do we have to put on the shoes of readiness for ourselves and for others? And the shield of faith, why be grounded in prayer or in belief in God in such a fashion that you know you have to cover others and yourself? And the helmet of salvation, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Why are we doing all this? And then Jeremiah covered, like I said, the sword of the Spirit. In other words, I don't want to lose the big picture. All these details are great, but man, we have to remember, you guys, because we are in a war. And we're in a war whether you like it or not, or whether you believe it or not, or whether you want to believe it or not, or encouraged to believe it. I understand that we don't want to see black helicopters, you know, around every corner, or the boogeyman and everything that we do. But we're not smart as Christians if we don't take... if we don't have this in our mindset every day, okay? That Satan hates God and he hates us because we carry God's glory, and he would love for you to remain. Let me back up. That he would love for us to remain mediocre, not caring about spiritual things. He would love for the church to remain mediocre, just hitting the high spots. He doesn't have to worry about us. But the people who want to know God more, who want to represent God, who realize they're in a war, who know that they want to go someplace with God, he's out to kill every part of that glory that manifests through our lives. That's what he's out to do, I promise you. Because he hates God, and he hates everything that God represents. And you know what? We represent him. We carry him within us. So don't be deceived. Don't take it lightly, even if somebody else encourages you to. I'll talk about a little more stuff a little bit later, but it's important that we understand every day we wake up, we're in a battle to carry God's glory. And the more that we can carry it, the more ground we can take. And this is where this is going. But let me give you some support verses for the first part of Ephesians. The first part of Ephesians says, "For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces." You know, that makes it sound like it's way out there, like it's nothing that we really have to worry about, but that's actually not true. It's right, the battle's in here. It's not way out there. The battle's in your mind, and for the way you think, and for what you want to, whatever you would like to do for the kingdom. There's a demonic wage or a demonic force that's coming against that. Look what 1 Corinthians says. "For though we walk in the flesh," so this flesh is not talking about the sinful flesh. It's talking about that we're people, we're in the world. And it says, "We are not warring according to the flesh. In other words, we don't always understand it. We don't operate in the spiritual realm all the time. We're operating here in the world, in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. So you guys can do that. The Bible says that you have divine power to destroy strongholds. And I'm just saying that Satan would love to have you not believe that. So I'm just saying very casually or very clearly, don't take it as the devil made you do everything in the world, but don't take the fact that he would love to kill this part of God's glory and not have it come about in any way in your life. We destroy arguments, every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive. I'm telling you, there's something that doesn't want this message to be heard today. When has that happened? All right, I'm going to keep going. So, I want to take some mystery out of this thing called spiritual warfare. I've talked about this before. I don't want it to be out there for us. I don't want it to be something that we can't understand, okay? And so, listen, going back to what Jeremiah talked about a little bit last week, we're starting to get now the first of our offensive weapons. Jeremiah talked about the sword of the Spirit, the armory of have many swords that we have to use for our... Are we back up? Okay, cool. So here, let me just go here, you guys, all right? Get back on track. What is spiritual warfare? First, we have to realize the theme of this entire passage is battle. So if you guys aren't prepared to battle every day for where you are with God, for more of God, you know, I get it. But the problem is, we've talked a lot about if you want more of God, if you want to live a life that manifests more of His power in your life and with others, you have to press into that. And if there's areas of your life that God's talking to you about that you need to make ground in, that you need to do better at, you're going to have to press into God over that. In other words, you're going to have to do battle. You're going to have to contend for that territory. Again, we have to really fight just being mediocre Christians. I think there's, all in all of our lives, we have things that we just kind of settle on, and God's telling us the way we need to take that ground. We need to take that ground back because we would represent God better, or we might even be able to step into an assignment or something more that God may have for us out of that obedience. But we have to understand that we battle. This passage is talking about battling and war, and it's meant to take ground. In other words, you got to take it by force. You're not going to swerve into it. It's a plan. It's a strategy. And if you take it too lightly, you're in constant defense, and we're actually getting into some things that allow us to go on offense. Okay? The next is, realize that to actually take something by force, you have to know, one, that it's real. That's what I just talked about. We can't take this lightly. We have to have a strategy. Satan really is out to destroy God's glory in you. Can you guys see how settling in your life can just put a wet blanket over God manifesting in more radical ways in your life? If you just settle, Satan loves that. If you settle where you're at, Satan loves that. He doesn't have to do anything with you. And we have to be careful. But the next one is, and you have to fight in the spiritual realm with spiritual gear and weapons. That's what 1 Corinthians is talking about. We don't fight in the flesh. We have to learn what those spiritual weapons are. That's why we went through all those things. All those things are protection, okay? So let's break it down for just a little bit. Just a little bit. So this is my attempt at what spiritual warfare is. And I added a few things to it. Realizing the spiritual mark on our lives can make, while we are here on earth, we partner with God to take ground for the kingdom in our own life first. What sets us up to do the same outwardly in areas of influence that God gives us in our life. So what I'm saying in that last part that I tried to be kind of delicate on, we're not kicking down the doors to get to drive our influence on everybody, okay? God opens those doors. But that comes from having things ironed out in our own life. Are you guys with me? We go to battle because we want to represent better. And who knows what comes out of that better representation? As you draw closer to God, you're going to hear from God more. And he might be speaking to you about something, Charlie. I mean, not picking on you, but he may say, Charlie, I might need you to take the kids group, or I might need you to do something. Or Mike, I might need you to do something, or Amanda, I might need you to do something. But you'll never get there not realizing that you're in a battle, and you'll never get there not understanding that you're going to have to take ground in your own life for that to happen. You can step into stuff and operate in the flesh. It never goes well. I think you guys have seen it when people have started something. You can tell when God's hand's on it, right? All right. So that's spiritual warfare. It's an everyday process. It's something we need to think about. It's something we need to be cognizant of, okay? So let's look at the gear. The protective gears, fasten the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, take on the readiness, the shoes, it says the shoes of readiness by the gospel of peace, take up the shield of salvation. Those are all protective, defensive type things that we do, but we can't stay there. We have to understand that we get in trouble if we're just trying to protect ourselves. In other words, you guys, we're hunkering down. You'll never take ground hunkering down. I mean, you might. There's been skirmishes that have been won by people protecting themselves. But that's not, if you ask a general how you win a battle, that's not what he's going to tell you. He's not going to tell you, well, you just got to protect yourself. Listen to me. If God's not random, if he has a plan for your life, what do you think Satan has to strategize against to come against you? He's not hunkering down. He does not have the same knowledge and understanding about you that God does, but he can watch you. He knows how to trip you up. And I'm just saying, we can't take this too lightly that he would love to trip you up. So we have to learn to start using offensive weapons. And Jeremiah covered that one last week, the first one. Some people call the first one a defensive weapon. I don't. I'm telling you what, if you guys want to get more grounded, in other words, if what I'm talking to you about sounds foreign, about this deep relationship that you can have with God, don't worry about me. Just start getting your nose in God's word and start drawing close and into that and watch what happens to you. Watch what happens to your thought process. You want to know why? Because God's word is a weapon. It's just like Jeremiah said, it is an armory of different swords that we get to use and pull out. And when you put it to what I'm going to talk about today, it becomes even more and more powerful for your life, okay? So, Vince, where are you going with this? You haven't even talked on prayer yet. I get it. I'm setting this stuff up. I'm going somewhere, okay? What we have to understand, what Paul is saying is, if you plan to win in spiritual warfare, if you're going to take ground, if you're going to make headway in your personal life and then in the lives of others, you're going to have to do this by our verses today. You're going to have to do it by praying at all times in the Spirit And with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert. I love that word. If I could, maybe we should make t-shirts. Be alert. Head on a swivel. Don't be deceived. Remember, every morning, with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So we're going to take a closer look at this verse now. And that first part, this is where I'm excited to clarify some things. Because I know when you read that, praying at all times in the Spirit, depending on what camp you come from, that's going to mean different things to different people. And where I'm going to go today is I believe that there is actually, there's something here for everybody, okay? So, I want you to know that context is everything. And we're going to look at this word spirit in the context of what it's written. So look what, I put this part in orange on purpose because see the word spirit where it says take the sword of the spirit? That word spirit is the same spirit that Jeremiah talked about last week, and it rolls into which we're going to talk about today, which is the word of God, and then in 18, praying at all times in the spirit, it's the same word. It's the same word. So let's look at it. Let's look at it. Let's break it down. Spirit in the Greek is pneuma. Some people call this the wind or the force, a quiet force. But it had like six different meanings, okay? And I didn't put them all up there because they weren't all applicable. But I think this part of the message, I'm telling you, you guys, if you don't remember anything about this message, remember this part. Number one, the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Son. You guys are aware of that, the Holy Spirit. That's correct. That's theologically correct. That's the Holy Spirit. Then 1a, sometimes referenced to in a way which emphasizes his personality and character, the Holy Spirit. He's a person. We can quench the Holy Spirit. I know I'm digging a little deep here, but hang with me. 1b, sometimes referenced in a way to which emphasizes his work and power. Okay, now start applying this to pray in the Holy Spirit. 4, the disposition or godly influence which fills and governs the soul of anyone. The efficient source of any power, affection, emotion, and desire. So let's look at another verse after we go through that. So are you guys with me what the Spirit is on this? So far the Spirit is the basically God, co-equal to God and Jesus. And he is a force that can speak to us and minister to us. Okay? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but it is written, for no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Listen to this. These things God has revealed to us through what? His Spirit. For the Spirit, the one that enables us, the one that talks to us through what? To our soul, to our spirit, teaches or searches everything, even the depths of God. So you guys, if you want to know God more, you're going to have to find a way to connect in the Spirit. And I've already said that means something a little different depending on what camp you're from, okay? But we're going to go into it. So listen to this next slide. This is the slide that you guys need to just take this one to the bank, okay? And I'm going to thank Tony Evans for a little help on this. The role of the Holy Spirit is to deliver the mind of God to your spirit. Are you with me? That's his role. That's the wind. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your spirit. That's where he talks to you. Sometimes we may feel like it's out loud. Maybe it's so strong that we feel it's an audible voice. But the truth is, how he always talks to us is his spirit to our spirit. And when he's telling you to pray in the spirit, what he's saying is somehow you got to get there. So the goal for the believer is not just to pray and have a conversation where you get to roll out your list. I'm going to talk about this in a minute. We got to be careful we don't pray in the flesh. But it is to actually connect. There's an alignment. There's a yielding that even though we have our list and we're coming forth in a position of supplication. We're coming forth in a position of needing help. We're coming forth in a position that we want to hear from God, not just hear him hear from us. There's got to be a yieldedness that's coming into effect there. Heart to heart. Spirit to spirit. Listen to that last one. Totally aligned. Are you guys hearing me? Are you guys with me where this is going? This is not about you just getting before the Lord and saying, hey, here's my list. I'm going to love you even if you do it, but here it is. That's just a conversation. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the way we're praying, fine. Start there. Don't stop. But what he's saying is there's a definite difference or specific thing he's aiming for when he tells you to pray in the Spirit. It's to connect. It's for him to speak to you and to you to hear from him. Are you with me? Okay. This is huge. Because this idea of praying in the Spirit does not have to be this idea of, I'm going to talk about tongues in just a minute. But listen, you guys, the issue with tongues, where all the heartache comes in, is usually when it's done corporately and how it's handled in a church. There should be no problem in anybody's heart about speaking in a prayer language that's a gift that God's given you. If you don't believe in it, don't worry about it. You're never going to get it. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, he says, not all have it. He says, do we all speak in tongues? No, not everybody has the gift. Not everybody's been given the gift. Most of the people that want it do get it. But they have to go for it. Sometimes it happens randomly. I think God has assignments on people's individuals. They may be in a camp where that's not put out there where he wants it out there, and he'll give it to somebody out of the blue. That's usually not what happens. But that's not what this is talking about solely. In other words, you don't have to worry about it getting wild. Having a prayer language is perfectly biblical, but it's not for everybody. Look what the NLT says about this idea of praying in the Spirit. And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems. The Holy Spirit. So how does he help us with our daily problems? Does he fix them? Does he communicate them? Maybe he communicates to us how we're supposed to be more aligned. Are you guys with me? And in our praying, he helps us in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And then what it says at the end, and the Father who knows all hearts knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he pleads for us, listen, in harmony with God's own will. Are you getting a sense what praying in the Spirit is? It's not this big worry that you've fallen into some charismatic idea and we don't have to worry about anybody speaking in tongues here and you know, things all going crazy. But this idea of connection, it's very well understood that when your spirit, if you've been given a prayer language, your spirit communicates with God's spirit on a level that your mind can't even understand. And some people are afraid of that, okay? So that's enough about that. So let me go on to this verse. If that's not for you, at least learn to pray in your groanings. It's almost the same thing. This is saying you don't even know how to pray. Here, let me read the verse. I thought I put this in the ESV, which says the Holy Spirit knows how to help us in our groanings. So if you don't have a prayer language, just groan. How about that? It says that he knows how to help us in that. It's almost the same thing. The point is, you're submitted. You're yielded. You want to know, he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. You want that connection. You're not trying to beat God up with your list. You're not getting upset because it didn't come the way you wanted it to. When you come before him and you're connected, you're actually more quiet before God. Let me put it this way. I've had enough time under my belt with God. And I have enough time under my belt in life that, you know what? I'm afraid to pray for some of the things I want because I've prayed for things I've wanted before and they've turned into be a disaster. Are you guys with me? I'm just saying that now I am far more open to hearing from God on a certain situation than I've ever been. I have a list. I pray about the things I want. I pray about the things I need. I pray about the things but as far as what, you know, being all bent, if they don't come my way or feeling like I just need to hound God over this, I'm not there anymore. I'm far more quiet before him than I've ever been in my life. I don't know. I was going to say, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing. I just know that that's part of learning how to pray in the Spirit. In other words, there's a yieldedness before God to hear from him as much as you want him to hear from you. That's praying in the Spirit, okay? And then we don't have to stop there. Listen, I got some thoughts here. And these are all what I felt the Lord gave me about this to help you understand, okay? Praying in the Spirit is stating your desires to God, but letting the Spirit lead your heart, your desires and your emotions while doing it. Make sense? All right. Think about this. If we can walk in the flesh, we have to be careful that we're not praying in the flesh. And I'm just meaning in that is I would never discourage you from bringing anything you wanted before God. But again, we have to get to this part, to this point that we're yielded. That we understand that this is more about connection than it is about getting your way. Are you guys with me on that? It's more about connection. Don't let your own thoughts and feelings drive you. Let what Jeremiah talked to you last week drive you. Let the sword of the Spirit, I forgot it. Let the power of God's word be your sword, the sword of the Spirit. Let it penetrate your heart. Listen to this one. You're praying that you're going to be aligned with God's will. Of course, you pray for whatever you want, but somewhere praying for godly and eternal matters has to start coming into play, including your own personal comfort and desires. At some point, you have to start saying, you know what, God, this is what I'm feeling, but you know what? I'm open to what you want me to learn out of this. I trust your timing. I trust your heart on this. Listen, I trust you. I trust you, Lord, that you have me in this. I mean, there's a lot of situations you may hate being there. But when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're praying to be in harmony with God's own will and the Spirit's helping you get there, like I said, there's a yieldedness that says, man, I hate this, but I'm going to... Well, here, let me just keep going with this thought from my own life. I've been in a couple of things that I have literally hated. But I knew down deep, I didn't pray to get out of them too much. Because I knew that spiritually it was the best thing I had ever gone through, and I was a hurting dude. That's praying in the Spirit. Are you guys hearing me? We don't have to worry about this as some charismatic phrase or terminology that's trying to get us to do a certain thing. That is not what's in play here. If you have that gift, there's nothing wrong with praying in the Spirit in that way. But there's nothing wrong with praying in your groanings. And understand you're kind of doing the same thing. And then we can go on. I have another one. It's not up here. So just we'll hold this for now. Pray the Scripture. The Scripture is an awesome way. So what happens is lots of times we sit down, we're trying to pray, our mind's trying to go, where we're focused on we've talked about, we're focused on stuff that's going on at work. That has to be a part of our lives. We should pray about that stuff. But you know what? If you want to connect, a great way to pray is to get your Dwell app and turn it on and put it on the Psalms and just start praying with the Psalms going. Again, I don't know why. I've heard some preachers talk about, they're so opposed to this idea that you want to connect with God, that kind of takes your conscience out of it. But that's kind of what you have to do. You have to set yourself up aside a little bit. And when you listen to the Scripture, I mean, I love Psalms 24 through Psalms 27. I can sit there and listen to it, and all I have to do is agree. Yes, Lord, that's me. Yes, Lord, that's what I want. And I'm praying. I'm connected. And are you guys with me on this? You can pray the Psalms, or you can pray any of the Scripture. And it speaks for you, and it ministers to your soul, and the Holy Spirit can speak to you of that. That's another way to pray in the Spirit. And then lastly, you can pray in the Spirit by having your specific requests, of course. That's what God encourages us to do. But again, the point isn't for you to tell God, that didn't come out right. Let me back up. It's okay to tell God everything you have and you want and you need. But then there's, after that, it's got to come a time when you're saying what Jesus said, but you know what, Lord, not your will, not my will, but yours. That's what I want for my life. And I promise you, you're going to connect. When that submissiveness, when that yieldedness comes, you're going to connect with God in a way. So this is what it means, you guys, to pray in the Spirit. Whoops, I didn't mean to turn that. Come on. The role of the Holy Spirit is to deliver the mind of God to you, and that's what you want to connect with. It's not just a time for God to listen to you. And you'll know. On the kingdom, his wife is making big impacts on the kingdom. They're part of, they're huge. He's, I'm not going to say he's huge, but he's making a great impact with helping people understand where they are at, and with Bible teaching, with colleges. He's just unbelievable. Several years ago, his wife, when his ministry just started, was in a car accident, and she was hurt just tremendously bad. It took years for her to get over this car accident, and the mom was killed in the car accident. Since then, he's been in three other car accidents where people have just literally run stop signs and red lights. There's been unexpected and unexplainable sickness with their kids. Where are you going with this, Vince? We need to be alert. There's an appropriate time to say, hey, you know what? I don't see a boogeyman around every corner, but something not good is happening here. I feel in every Christian's life, when we plan to move forward with God, there's going to be things that are going to come against us that you're going to say, hey, you know what, this is a little off, this is a little different. And you need to be alert, you need to be aware of those times. Especially if you know your heart, especially if you know that you want to get somewhere with God, especially if you are making great efforts to get somewhere with God. In other words, this idea of pressing in has got you, and you want to hear more, or maybe you know somebody that's doing more and you want to be like that. Maybe the Holy Spirit's quickened your spirit like that. You can't underestimate how Satan's going to come after you and the demons. Let me tell you something else. You can't underestimate what your past sin has already allowed in your life as well. And you might be fighting your own demons that you've let in. And you might need some deliverance and a way to pray. Are you guys hearing me? We all have some of that. We all have had mediocre areas of our life and done things that's what he's talking about. We get to get rid of those demonic strongholds. Most of them are within us. We have to be really cognizant of those. But I know when Satan doesn't want a message to be heard. I know what those days look like. Okay, are you with me? To that end, keep alert. Don't be scared. Go on the offensive. That's what this is all about. This prayer that we have, this association that we have with God. Is a weapon that we get to use to go on the defensive against all this stuff in our life. It's a way to move forward in a manner that's offensive, that we're not scared, that we're not operating in a defensive mode. We can go to battle. That movie, The War Room, is exactly right. Let your prayer life be a war room for you. There's nothing we can't bring to God. But man, when you're aligned, and you're willing to walk that out, that's powerful. That's got meat behind it, man. That's just crazy. And then I want you to see, if something's repeated in Scripture, it's extremely important and to be given heavy consideration to its application in our everyday lives. It happens all the time in Scripture. That's one of the ways that the Jewish mindset worked. If it was repeated, it's reported, it's important. And he says this again. He says, keep alert with all perseverance. He talked about needing to pray at all times. He's talking about perseverance again. And then he uses the word supplication again. But then he goes into for all saints. And I have a little different way I want to relate to that to us. Of course, we're supposed to pray for our friends, our churches. In fact, I feel that's one of the great things that the men's group is doing. We fast on Wednesdays, and we fast specifically for Remnant Church. That's what we're supposed to do. That's part of this application. But what you have to understand is Paul had to write these letters to the churches because they were under persecution all the time. And what I want you to see is how you know you can take this. Because every one of us are under attack all the time. Maybe we're not getting the full-blown persecution that the churches did, or persecution like we see on Christians in the Sudan. But the point is, we're under attack, and we need to be smart about it. We need to, and if we let, I'm saying that we don't have to be all worried, but again, there's got to be this level-headedness or this alertness that, man, we're actually in a war. And if we think we're not taking the ground like we're supposed to. And the fact is, you can't take ground in war unless you do it by force, which means there's got to be some strategy to your life, some strategy to your study, some strategy to how you're operating with God. The early church is under attack, and so are we. And this has full application. So Paul's saying, of course, pray for yourself, but pray for others. Pray for your church. Realizing every one of us are going to be under some kind of attack to fail. And again, it's not like we're going to lose our life. I think in the case of my friend's life, that's the only way Satan could take him out. He wasn't going to fail. And he literally tried to kill him. That I know for sure. He knows for sure that's what's going on. Tried to kill his family. 3. 3 for him, 2 for her. But lots of times, Satan, with, let's say us regular folks, we just have to trip up. We just have to mess up our witness. And you guys, I'm saying that we're not all out after this huge ministry. Maybe we're just out to minister to our neighbor and have a life that represents something that that person could ask about us about. And we could speak into that life, and we have the witness to be able to do that. Man, Satan would love to trip that up in us. For us, taking ground is different than, I mean, it's going to be different for everybody depending on what God has you doing. But you can still take ground in your own life, and you can still help others take ground. I don't know. Mary and Richard weren't expecting me to say this morning, but Richard shares in our men's group, and Mary does, and they have an awesome witness with their family right now. Because of where they're at with God, God's using them tremendously to bring about goodness in their family. All of us can be there. It doesn't matter whether it's with our family or whether it's with our work. But again, we're not going to swerve into it. There's got to be some purpose, some strategy, some understanding behind it. And here's how I want to end. This is really key. This is huge. It's a little out there. It's not out there. It's just we don't talk about it much. But we have this wonderful weapon called prayer that we need to learn to use the way God intended us to use it and every way God intended us to use it. And you guys, I want you to know that all through Scripture, it talks about how God has sent, we all have angels that are here to help us. We have those angels. In Hebrews, it starts out by talking about how Jesus is greater than any angel, because the Jewish leadership had this idea of the grandeur of what they thought the angels were. And the writer of Hebrews is out to prove that Jesus is greater than the angels. And he's got this argument going on. And it basically says, Jesus is greater. Has God ever had these angels do this? Has God ever had these angels do that? No, Jesus is greater. Jesus has got this. And then it goes down to verse 13, and it says, and which of the angels has God ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool under your feet? He's never said that about an angel. But look what he says the angels are here for. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who have inherited salvation? Angels are ministering spirits. We all have them. And the point I want to make here is you have this weapon called prayer. And you know what? I know that angels intervene in our lives unasked. But sometimes you can activate. Listen. Thank you, Lord. Angels know how to fight in the spirit. We don't even understand it sometimes because we're operating in the flesh. And I don't mean that sinful. I'm just mean they operate in a realm that we're not familiar with. Our weapon of prayer can activate those angels to help us and come to our benefit and our protection and actually take ground. They can actually help us in that. We might be missing out on tons and tons of help by not praying for these angels to engage. That's another part of this weapon of prayer that we have for our benefit that we don't even use and maybe think about all the time. They're here for us. They're operating with us. But prayer activates them even more. And you can activate them to be a help to your life. And I don't know what you guys are facing, and here's how I want to close it up tonight. Never give up praying. Come on, Victor, come on up, bud. It's the biggest weapon that you have as a Christian. And listen. I'm just going to say it. If your life, if you're carrying sin, if you're doing something you're not supposed to do, if you're operating in disbelief because you don't think God's going to help you, you are missing out on tons of prayer. You're missing out on the greatest weapon you have as a Christian. Get it cleaned up. Get to a place where you can use this and take some ground. It's the most important and probably the most effective weapon that we have to help us in our life. Now, listen to this. Listen to this this is from my Helmet of Salvation talk or message. The Helmet of Salvation also had the spirit of not giving up. And here's where we need to be. I hope you remember this. It says salvation is it's hope. Remember the Helmet of Salvation is actually hope. Hope is a steady, quiet expectation of good based on God's promises in His Word. You have that same hope in prayer, you guys. It's what I'm telling you is not up for grabs. It's available to you. It's biblical. The Bible says it's available to you. And you have to operate in it. This idea of continual optimism and that you're going to get somewhere with it, just like you would in this idea of salvation. Listen, you cannot yield to discouragement. If your prayers don't go the way you want it to, you can't let discouragement get you down. Just like you can't get down over your salvation. It's the same hope. You're building your trust into that. See, people mess up with their sin and then they get all down on themselves. What happens is they think that they're the ones that are developing their salvation and their cleanliness with God. And that's not the case. It's not biblical. Jesus has always done it. So there's days that we're saying, God, thank you. My salvation doesn't depend on me because I would mess it up. Thank you, Jesus. The same is with our prayer life, you guys. You can't give up. You don't know when your breakthrough is going to come. What you don't know of God's timing. Maybe what God's wanted you to learn out of a certain decision is 1 week away, and you said, I've had it with this. I'm mad at God. He hasn't answered my prayer. That's praying in the flesh. That's operating in the flesh. That's not praying in the spirit. Are you guys with me? This is killer stuff. And maybe some of us are already there. And maybe some of us aren't. But the idea, the concept is to connect. Get low, you guys. Get low. Get yielded. Get aligned. And take that phrase where it says, you can't imagine what God wants to do in your life. But you know what? You can't do it with pride. You can't do it with sin. There's got to be a yieldness and alignment that has to come with that. And just watch what happens, man. Are you guys with me today? So to me, this is powerful stuff. Father, thank you for this study and thank you for being with us. And man, I can just feel your spirit right now. I thank you so much for all the help that you've given all of us through our lives, Father. It's amazing. Father, I pray for your blessing upon everybody here tonight, this morning. I pray, Father, that whatever's got them down, whatever is getting to them, Father, help them to not only defend themselves with all this other stuff we talked about, but Father, help them to use this weapon of prayer that they have available to them and to trust you and to believe in you and to press into that, Father, maybe in a way they never have. So folks, thanks for being here this morning. If you want prayer for anything in there, we'll be in the back. And God bless you.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You filled our hearts.